Welcome to our discussion today. We have some very interesting panelists with us. I'm your teacher, Doris, and we have with us today
Lois.
Lois, this is on making good decisions. Do you still have to make decisions?
I still have to make decisions, Doris. I'm in my 50s, and I definitely still have to make them.
You'll always have to make them all your life. And then we have Joshua with us today. Joshua, what do you think of this article on making good decisions?
Well, I always appreciate looking through, like, suggestions on how to make good decisions. I'm always having to make good decisions in my life, and I do appreciate going through a methodology in order to make them better.
Well, we're going to ask you later, because I know you've moved from different countries. Now, you're from the United States. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Washington State, and I lived in Oregon for a while. But then I also moved to Costa Rica to be with my family business there, and I lived in Costa Rica for almost 10 years.
So you had to make a decision, and you went to Costa Rica. Then you got all the way over here to Asia, and you had to make a decision about that.
I had to make a couple of big decisions before that happened.
That's exactly right. And so we always make big decisions and little decisions. Where are you going to live when you get here? And how are you going to spend your money? We always make decisions. Now, we have one of our younger members, probably the youngest member that's been on our panel here because she just graduated from high school. Jocelyn, how are you today?
Good, I'm good.
Did you ever have to make decisions?
Always, yeah.
Always. Did you have to make a decision about what school you're going to go to after high school?
Yeah, I had to make a decision to move back to Taiwan.
To move back to Taiwan from Washington, D.C. Mm. And, you know, she lived in America all those years. And was that a hard decision?
It was a very difficult decision.
Very difficult decision. So we all have decisions to make. And you think, once I make this, I hope I don't have to make any more. But we keep making decisions. I know Bill, who's with us today, one of our teachers. Bill, we're so glad that you're back with us because Bill's going to have a big decision to maybe leave Taiwan for a while. Isn't that right, Bill?
Doris, first off, I'm glad to be here, and that decision as far as whether to stay or go is something that we all have to face. Josh had mentioned as far as his move, Costa Rica or Asia, and we also have to make decisions as far as we're in a place, and then, you know, the difficult decisions are the ones then where it's not so obvious right or wrong. You might be in a situation that seems pretty good. But then you're like, well, I need to move on to a different thing. Then that's when we get into really difficult decisions.
So I think this article will be useful for all of us, whatever stage we are in our life and our journey. Don't you think so?
Well, that's where this article will help us out, Doris, on some of these decisions.
Right. And so we're going to find out how to make a good decision on page 10 today. And Lois, would you read the first small paragraph?
We all need to make decisions in life. When we make good decisions, they lead to contentment, success, and fulfillment. But when we make bad decisions, they can lead to disappointment, pain, and inner turmoil.
Now, the beginning of that is almost frightening in a way because we don't want to have disappointment in our life. And what is inner turmoil anyway, Bill?
Well, inner turmoil is when you are not at peace with yourself. And you might be struggling over, did I do the right thing or did I make the right decision? You have doubt and fear.
So maybe you made a bad decision. And so how do we make good decisions? Joshua, don't you think that that's what everybody struggles with from time to time?
Well, I know I certainly do, and I'd like to think that pretty much everyone has, from time to time, decisions that they struggle with, big or small.
Right, so you're not the only one, Joshua, and everybody has to make decisions. What should we do? We have to make little decisions. What should we wear to work today? And things like that. But the big decisions are, should I keep this job? Should I stay in that country? Or what should I do? So we're going to find out now some tips for making good decisions. Let's take one at a time. Some of these tips will help us. What is the first tip?
Okay, the first one is, set clear criteria. Know what you want and what you don't want.
Is that easy to do, Bill? Not easy, is it?
Well, it takes some time and effort. You got to sit down and think about this. And, you know, I like the second part of that sentence, know what you don't want. This is just as important as knowing what you want. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful to define what you don't want.
OK, Okay. Well, if you're doing something like in a company, set a clear criteria. For instance, you want to say, what my product is going to do? Is it going to help people?
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're teaching studio classroom, we say, now, do we want to teach grammar? Do we want to teach how to use it? You have to make mm-hmm. these certain decisions exactly. about what it's about first before you go on.
Yeah, there's a fun show on business I like on TV. And that's definitely what they do. This panel makes the people who want them to give their money to them to start a product or a small company. They always say to them, what's the criteria? Give me the clear criteria mm-hmm. for this. So you know where the money's going, but what it's going to do.
So that's important, isn't it? Yes. Okay, what is the second one?
Well, the second tip is to be flexible. You have no control over many elements in life, including things like an illness or a job loss. Yet flexibility enables you to quickly recognize whether decisions should be changed or simply readjusted.
Now, I could think of a lot of times when this would come up. If it's a health problem, maybe you need to move from that place or you have allergies or something like that. But sometimes there's other things to consider, too.
Sure. There might be not only your own factors, but there might be other family members, you mm-hmm. know, your husband or wife or your children. They have things that happen that require you. You might make the greatest plans on earth, but then all of a sudden, if one of your children gets very ill with, you know, some you know, sickness, then that will change your plans.
Well, and you might think that you want to live out in the country, but if your kids are going to a school, they want to live near that school in the city. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things affect your decisions, mm-hmm. don't they?
Yeah. Which I did that, live out in the country for 4 years and found out it wasn't for me at that time of my life.
Right. So sometimes you have to be flexible and say, well, I thought I'd like this, but I'm going to move or I'm going to do something else. So that's one little tip. But another one is very important, is to not to blame, because it feels good to blame somebody else. It was their fault, and they said this, but don't blame them, because it won't help you, won't lead to growth, or it won't make any progress. So don't blame anybody. Just take responsibility for what you make. Isn't that important?
Yeah, we say ownership. Take ownership of your choices and your decisions. It's a sign of maturity.
That's true. And then once you make a decision, this number four is pretty important.
Well, standing firm is number four. So once you've made your decision, people or things may work against you and try to shake your resolve. Learn to weather the storms.
Stand firm. That is not easy. Because we say, what if I did this? What if I did that? Hey, forget it. You made the decision. Stand firm.
I always say to myself sometimes when I think the decision my husband and I have made as a team, and then I look back and think it isn't good, I always try to remember, hindsight is 20/20. So what the decision you made with the information you had at the time, just say to yourself, that was the right decision.
Right. Don't keep thinking about that.
Exactly.
Stand firm on it, right? And then to weather the storms means that bad things are going to happen. You never know when a typhoon is coming in your life, which could be sickness or losing your job.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to weather the storms?
Well, weather the storms means to stick through the bad times, stick through the difficult times. Don't let challenges discourage you.
I'm also working on weathering the little storms in my life. So coming here to Taiwan, everything is new and fantastic, but it also means that I have to work a little extra hard in order to do things, so even to go shopping or to buy food.
You have to learn the language.
To learn the language, exactly. And so my little storms is that I get tired.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
Because I take so much energy to do stuff, and then I have to really, like, you know, I made a decision that I'm going to learn Mandarin, I'm going to learn Chinese, so even though I'm tired, I'm going to sit down and take 15 minutes to keep working on it. So
good.
I have to weather those little storms, too.
That's good. So you have to just kind of, once you start going in a direction, you have to, biao fang qi, don't give up, just keep on going, don't?
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what happens, then you just keep on. So those are just little tips. But there's a certain steps that I think are very important. And maybe this is the most important part of this lesson, I think, in column two. I think that's very important, these four facts here. You might want to write them down or put yellow pencil on those, because the first one says something that a lot of people don't do. What's number one?
Define the problem, recognize it, and write it down.
I have seen people talk about what they should do about something, and that's not really the problem. They're talking about a result of the problem. Have you ever seen that happen?
Definitely. You got to get to, we often say you got to get to the root of the problem, mm-hmm. and you really do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one thing that people don't do. Well, what are we really talking about? Are we talking about a result of something, or are we talking about the problem?
You know, I also remember growing up where my dad would say, you know, we can't treat the symptom. We have to cure the cause, right?
That's
so, like,
right.
If I got a stuffy nose and I wanted to take some pills in order to relieve the stuffy nose, like, nope, what you really need is to drink a lot of water and get some sleep.
Right, that's right.
Yes, why, Dad?
What is the problem? That's very good. So once you know, maybe it's in your company or in your family, maybe the kid doesn't like school, then you have to find out whether it's the teachers or the books or this person or whatever it is. What is the problem?
Exactly. I remember, you know, maybe it's a thing that doctors like to do sometimes, not all doctors by any means, but my son was diagnosed with asthma. And I went, you know what? They said I was too. And we worked through that. And I said, you know what, Mark? You need to play soccer a lot, and you need to have a musical instrument. So we're going to give you the trumpet, and you're going to play soccer a lot. And you know what? He doesn't have asthma anymore. I made his lungs expand, and he ran around. It's a great way.
I wonder what the doctor thought about that. But anyway, the second thing then, what you have to do is to brainstorm. Do you want to read that one, brainstorm, Jocelyn?
Brainstorm. Reflect on the pros and cons of each possibility.
The pros and cons, for and against. So brainstorming can be with two or three people in your company or with your family. Brainstorming has to be with people who know what you're talking about.
And it's also good, I think, when you're doing the brainstorm to really like let in the advice from other people, because I think people will really come up with different perspectives and different angles that you hadn't thought of.
Right. If you've got your mind made up, no use brainstorming.
You know, brainstorming is something that usually we apply to the business world. We talk about that. But as I'm looking at this, Doris, this is something actually could benefit families, but it rarely happens in the family setup.
Father said, I said so. You have to do it.
That's right. That's right. Because, and I think Josh makes a good point, is usually in the family setting, people don't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
They see a problem and they decide, well, here's the solution. I'm going to move forward with this. Oh, by the way, I will not include anybody else in this decision.
Right.
I've made the decision.
Right. So brainstorming is very important. What are the good and bad points? And when you make a decision, it seems this is logical, but let's look at the other possibilities too.
Right.
Then come to the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've looked at the other possibilities, then what do you do, Lois?
Choose what to do. Make a firm decision and don't waver. And here we have waver to lose strength, determination, or purpose, especially temporarily. So you're going to stick to this. Choose what to do.
Now, what makes people waver?
Doubt.
Doubt.
It's all about, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And you see this often. Oh, should I do this? No, should I do that? And they'll make a decision. Well, I don't know. I chose this, but maybe I should do the other thing. And you look, you get the information. You make the decision the best you can with that information. And then you move on.
Right. Somebody else might come up and say, why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Then question that.
Right.
That makes you wait. Once you've made it, just go for it.
You know what, Doris? You make a really good point. And I see this happen all the time. Is that people will question your decision.
Yeah.
You do not have to explain your decision to everybody.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
You don't owe
everybody an explanation, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're my boss, maybe I owe you an explanation. But I don't owe everybody on earth an explanation for my decisions.
That's true.
I think it's also a good way to keep what they say on course, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't waver off course. So you make a decision, you stick by it, and you just go for it.
Well, that goes to the next point, which is number 4, which is says to act on your decision as soon as possible. Have an action plan ready. So you can say, if we decide this, I'm going to do that. If we decide something else, I'm going to do that. Be ready and then act on it. Otherwise, the longer you go, the more wavering you might do. Isn't that true, Josh?
It's very true. And I've also found that in my own life, is that mm-hmm. if I've made a decision and I've decided that I'm going to stand firm on that decision, but then I give myself a little bit of time and before I really take that first step, then I go back into the process of getting to be like, oh, is that really the right decision? Is that really what I want to do? But once I make that first action and really start going down to follow that action plan, then the next step just makes more sense and more sense and more sense, and I just keep going for it.
So these are the four things that I think are very important steps. Let's say them. Number one,
define the problem.
Number two,
brainstorm.
Number three,
choose what to do.
Number four,
act on your decision as soon as possible.
Aren't those good points, though? They're simple, but if we do that, we'll make good decisions. Isn't that good?
You know, what's interesting is most people, we've never been trained in decision-making, right? We're trained in calculus and trigonometry and physics, but we're not trained in decision-making.
Right, because we just let somebody else decide. Oh, you decide, but you know, you better start deciding yourself because you have to live with the results.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I know that teenagers, children, whatever, near the end of their high school, sometimes they get really, really nervous about what to pick when they're going to go to university.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they will say to their parents, oh, you choose for me or whatever. No, you're on the threshold of adulthood. You've got to start making some decisions for sure for yourself.
We've got somebody here that just graduated from high school. Jocelyn, did you have to make some decisions in your life about what you're going to do when you finish high school?
Yes, I had to decide on my major, what I want to do after college and everything.
Now, did you ask other people or did you say, my folks want me to do that? How did you make that decision?
I always told people that my parents want me to go to medical school and be a doctor eventually, but I said I want to be a lawyer when I graduate. So
what do you want to do?
A lawyer. Yeah.
A lawyer. Good.
So that's not the same, see? But the parents, of course, they mean well when they try to suggest things because they think that's a good profession. But in the end, you have to live with the decision, even if you're in high school. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Did your folks support you then?
Yeah, now they support me.
See, because they know that's what you want to do. But later on, something might happen, and you could change, but that's up to you because you will be the one to make these decisions. So you find out later on whether that's what you want to keep on or it might lead you into something else. But you have to decide, and that's one thing you have to learn at an early age. Isn't that right?
Well, and I wonder how many schools Jocelyn had considered as far as going to, as far as law school.
First you were going to go to the States, then you decided to come back to Taiwan.
How many schools did you consider?
In the U.S. or Taiwan?
Total.
Total? Probably 10.
So she had to make a decision between 10 schools, which is not easy. Now, one of the things what can happen in that situation is that we can have paralysis by analysis in making a decision. We think, well, I'm looking at 10 schools.
Mm-hmm.
Terrified that we're going to make a wrong decision. I would say, and for people like Jocelyn, our students in that situation, you probably won't make a wrong decision. I think Jocelyn could have gone to 10 different schools, and she'll be successful no matter which one she chooses. And you really have to approach it that way.
Right.
So don't be terrified of making that choice.
No, whatever one you choose, there's good things.
I think you'll be all right.
Yeah. So feel good about that, Jocelyn.
You know, that reminds me of make the best of a situation.
Right.
So you have 10 schools to choose from. You pick one, and then you hear from your friends, oh, maybe I should have picked that school. But you made your decision. You're going to make the best with that decision and go for it.
And I think you feel that way now, don't you? You feel settled?
Yeah, I do. I feel good.
That's good. Okay. Well, there's three C's that we have to remember. We can remember more by the English alphabet, all the ABCs of how to do things. And there's three C's. These are good C's. And it says, remember these three C's in making a decision. Here's another way. So what's the first one, Josh?
So the first C is consequences. Think through the ramifications of your decision.
Now, that word ramifications might be kind of a big word.
Ramifications is kind of a big word. It's got a lot of syllables in it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But ramifications kind of mean like the different possibilities that your decision or your action will act upon. So it's different consequences.
Okay, like for instance, you were in the States and you say, well, now if I decide to to go to a school in Taiwan, I have to move back to Taiwan. That's one of the ramifications. Mm-hmm. You can't go to school in Taiwan if you live in Washington, D.C.
That's right. A little difficult.
So it might mean you're moving. It might mean other things you do. Or it might mean spending more or less money. There's a lot of different things involved. Mm-hmm. So you think of the consequences. If I do this, and if you're a businessman, and you think about I cut corners and I don't make the product so well, it maybe it will affect people's health. There's consequences. So think about what's going to happen after you make that decision. Exactly. It's not just saving money.
Exactly.
It's what's going to happen.
A safety item too, right, Doris? Mm-hmm. You can't be cheap on airbags that you install in a car.
Right.
You have to think of these things.
And that happens sometimes to products. What is the second C?
The second C, counsel. Seek advice from wise people you admire and respect.
So that's always important, to ask the right people. Don't just ask somebody that you know is going to agree with you, but somebody who you think really is going by good principles, right?
One of the things I advise all of the students that I talk with, Doris, is that they get a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And have a person, usually an older person, more experienced, and this person can be a good mentor, and you can bounce questions and ideas off of this person, and they can give you their feedback on whether something's a good idea or not so good idea.
Yes, so this is not just one person even, but wise people,
mm-hmm.
people that you admire, and you like the way they live and what they do.
Exactly.
And the third C is very important.
Yes. It says, conscience, listen to the small voice inside of you. Your gut instinct will show you what direction you really want to take.
Now, we often use this expressed gut instinct.
Well, gut instinct, it's very common to use in English. It's sort of the idea that you have an intuition or like an internal decision factor that isn't really residing in your brain. It's residing in your gut. So it's like a decision or an instinct that you feel.
Mm-hmm. You know, the small voices, we get a lot of loud voices saying, do this, it'll save money, it'll make money. But the small voices, it might hurt people.
Yeah, this thing, gut instinct. Doris, I can tell you, when I do not feel right about a decision or something I'm going into, I actually do have, like, some discomfort in my stomach.
Yeah.
My body is clearly telling me this is
don't
not
do
right.
That. Yeah. Well, you know, if more people listened to their conscience, we'd have better products on
exactly.
today. Because sometimes people do things, we say, cut corners, and it affects people's health. And if you're responsible in some company, don't do things that are not good.
Exactly. Recently, we had to make a decision as a couple, and I gave what I was thinking to my husband, and he came back and said, Lois, is that from your gut? Is that a gut decision? And I said, yes, it is.
Okay, well, that's good if you know. So going on here to the next page, we're talking about now these three things that keep us from making good decisions. We want to make a good one, but the first one is something that keeps us from a lot of things.
So the first one is a fear of making a mistake. Even if you make a wrong decision, remember that mistakes can always be rectified.
Now, fear is the greatest thing that keeps you from practicing your language skills, and afraid somebody might laugh at you. You're afraid from doing something wrong, that people will blame you. You're afraid you'll fail. Fear is the biggest thing. We always say facing the giant of fear. Conquer fear. Don't let fear get the best of you. Because fear of what other people think is bad, too. Read that one.
Oh, yeah. The next one is fear of what other people will think. Learn to live your life without worrying about what others think of you and your choices.
That's not easy to do. It's easier said than done.
Well, yeah, it's funny. Well, we're taught at an early age to, one, fear failure. And so then what happens is we then start taking no risks, and we have this ego of ours that we, like, start worrying about what other people think about us. So you have to just let go of all of that and say, I'm going to make my decision regardless of what people think.
So remember that one. And then also knowing all the facts is important.
Right. It says not knowing all the facts. A fear of the unknown is normal. So work toward developing a level of trust in yourself. And remember that decisions can be changed if needed.
So get the facts. If you get more facts later, you might have to change it. But, you know, there are benefits, too. Let's read the benefits.
Well, the benefits to making good decisions is an essential part of life, and once you become proficient in it, you will reap many rewards, including less stress, better relationships, and more sleep.
Now, those are all pretty good benefits, aren't they?
Fantastic, especially the more sleep part.
That's right. See, you know, if you become very used to it, very good at it, you say, oh, they often make good decisions because they have learned how to do it. So go over this lesson, think about it, and you will reap the rewards. You will get good results. And what are those good results again?
Well, the good results are, one, you're going to have some contentment in your life.
And that's good.
That's a great word. You had that right in the beginning of the article. It just means having peace of mind.
And less stress. You know, stress is the cause of most illnesses. Even some cancers and things are brought on by stress. So you have less stress in your life. And what else? Better relationships with people.
Better relationships with people, and you work better, and your life will be better.
And even getting more sleep is important because you don't have the stress. Get a nice, restful sleep. Well, that's just one of the phases, because there's another article that was in one of the newspapers about questions to ask yourself before you make a big decision, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow because the time's up for today. So will you all be back tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, I've decided to come back tomorrow.
Good, Bill. I hope you made that
like
decision.
A good decision.
Don't get any stress over it. That's a good decision,
Bill. Get a good night's sleep, Bill.
We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.